I want to just share something very briefly with us. I introduce a topic, a subject matter very close to my heart with you this morning. And we have titled this, Mind Your Language. Yeah, mind your language. Please let me tell your neighbor, mind your language. Yeah, you need to mind your language. You are a spiritual entity, so you need to mind your language. Many of us, though, we are born again and spirit-filled. And, you know, I want to talk as family members. Because we are the Bible says that we are members of the same body. You and I, we are members of the same body, the body of Christ. For those of you who are married, I always tell people who are married that if you married in the Lord, that is, that first and foremost, you are both brothers and sisters in the Lord. That's the beauty of marrying in the Lord. If your spouse is not a Christian, we still say, I continue to pray for them to be born again. But if both of you are believers, then you are first and foremost, you are brothers and sisters in the Lord. And you and I, you know, though I'm your pastor, but we are all brothers and sisters in the Lord. We all belong to one family, the family of God. Beautiful, beautiful family. I love the family of God. I love Christians. Because I totally appreciate what Jesus has done for me. I mean, he rescued me from the jaws of death and darkness and brought me into his marvelous light. And so the thing about being in a family is that there are rules and there are regulations. And the thing about being in faith is that God, Jesus, has rules. Jesus has rules. And as Christians, we must know and understand the rules of the family. So you can get the best out of the father. In your homes, you have rules. And your children must understand the rules in your family so as to get the best out of daddy and mommy. Amen. If not, that kid will be miserable for a very long time. You see. And so the language, the words you speak in this family is very important. And when I'm saying in this family, I'm just talking about being in church. When I say the family of God, it's not just church. This is a warehouse. I mean, in your family, in your home. Your home is the sanctuary, not this place. I mean, it's so interesting that a lot of people respect this warehouse, which is okay, because it carries the presence of God. It's where we all meet. But people pay a premium to this warehouse than they do in their home. In other words, when they come into a place like this, right, when you're coming into church, You call truce if you are fighting, if you are struggling, you know, you're just, okay, we are getting to church now. Maybe because pastor is here, you know, it's just, oh yeah, okay, we will settle the matter afterwards. Okay. And then you will come in, you sit down, then right after the service, you get into the car, say, as I was saying, you know. You know, so you shouldn't do that. You shouldn't have more respect for this body. Again, that's also because many people are they are more interested in what people think about them than what God thinks about them. Don't do like that. That's not Christianly. You're more concerned about what people think about you than what God thinks about you. My friend, you can go to bed tonight and not wake up tomorrow morning. No man can do that to you. No man can do that to you. God can do that. Do you understand that? So you should fear God. But where do you fear God? You don't fear God in here. You fear God at home. When no one is watching. When you are watching, when no one knows that you are watching, then God is watching you. That's a problem. Do you understand? And so I want us to take you through a piece of scripture that tells you how important what you say in your home is. Very important. Unfortunately, many of us, it is very, very difficult for God to answer our prayers because we don't do things that make God comfortable in our church. And our church is not 10 Kenneth Road. Our church is your postcode. Your postcode is the church. It says where two or three of you are gathered together in my name. That's not in church. That's in your home. That's you by yourself or you and your wife and your children all together. That abode, that is your sanctuary. Praise God. And so let's look at Mark chapter 11. Mind your language. Now the Bible says the next day, when they had come out of Bethany, he was hungry. And seeing from afar a fig tree having leaves, he went to see if perhaps he would find something on it. When he came to it, he found nothing but leaves, for it was not the season of figs. So it wasn't his problem. Wasn't a fig's problem, right? I mean, my appointed time has not yet come. Why are you looking for fruits from me now? But he's the Lord. So the Bible says that in response to the fig tree not bearing fruit when it is not yet its time. Right? Jesus said to it, let no one eat from you ever again. And his disciples heard it. Come on, if that's in your Bible, mark it. If it's in your iPad, highlight it. If it's in your phone, just shut it down. All right. Let no one eat from you ever again. And his disciples heard it. But they made nothing of it. I said, oh, yeah. Oh, wow. And probably, you know, he probably just looking at him and said, oh, what's he on about? Man, hello. What? I don't know what season it was. You know, like maybe it was the winter time. What's he on about? Man, it's just a tree. Why are you back? Can you imagine Jesus, in all his power and all his miracles, goes down to a tree. You see him saying that. And you wonder, what is he talking to? Who is he talking to? He's addressing a tree. I said, whoa. So they made nothing of it. They said, wow, well, maybe something will happen. Maybe this is some kind of introduction, a pretext or something bigger that will happen later. They just said, well, they heard and they moved on. But look at verse 20. Now in the morning, as they passed by the same road, they saw the fig tree dried up from the roots. Dried up from the roots. And Peter, remembering, said, you know, sometimes there are so many things that are dried, that is dried up around us right now, but we don't remember. We don't remember. There's something responsible for that thing not working. But many of us are so distracted. We are so, we have, like me, short attention span. We don't know, we have no diary of recollection. We are not spiritually intelligent. What that means is that so we cannot put things together. Many of us just live and live for the moment. We don't know how to appreciate history and bring history to the present so we can project to the future. We just inhale, exhale, and live. There is no strategy for living. There is no tactics for living. There is no operational plan for living. We just wake up and leave. Go to work and come back and sleep and wake up. Go to work and come back and raise our children, feed them. Go to work and come back and sleep. Wow, what a beautiful day. But Peter was versatile. And then he came back and said, whoa, this thing is not working. I know why it's not working. Do you know why it's not working? This thing yesterday was healthy. It had leaves, but it has dried up. This career was okay once upon a time. This marriage was okay once upon a time. This child was bright once upon a time. But look at right now, it has dried up. This marriage, there is no juice in this marriage anymore. This kid is no longer as bright as he used to be. My career is getting stagnant. And he said, look, I know what happened here. Do you? Do you know what happened? Nothing just happens. There is something responsible for whatever is happening and whatever is not happening. We do not live in a vacuum. There's something responsible for whatever is happening and whatever is not happening. The best piece of information I ever received was from my great mentor, and he told me, he said, if you don't know what is responsible for your altitude, he said, my friend, one day you will crash. In other words, you don't know what is responsible for keeping you buoyant, right, and advancing. You know, I had the opportunity of meeting with two directors over during this weekend, and they were asking me, what do you think is that? They gave me some statistics about church growth in Europe, and I said, this church defies these statistics. So what do you think is responsible for the growth of the church? Before they even said it. Before they said it, I started giving them number one, number two, number three, number four, number five. I said, shall I continue? The man said, oh, yeah, please. Okay, number six, number seven, number eight, number... And the master said, really? I said, yes. This is what is responsible for this. So I now told them, I said, growth is not a gift. Do you understand? So my question to you is, do you know why it is not happening? But that's a different message for another. That's not where I'm going to today. It says, and Peter, remembering, said to him, Rabbi, look, the fig tree which you cursed has withered away. You said something to this tree. We made nothing about it when you were doing it. We thought it didn't matter. We thought it was just mere words you were speaking. We thought that what you were saying was neither here nor there. It looks innocuous. It didn't look as if it was a dangerous thing you were saying. It looked as if it was just a normal word you were saying. That we thought we were just angry. And when you were saying those things, it had no meaning. But we were not really expecting that this tree will respond to what you said. Look, it's dead. It's dead. You know what worries me is that the Bible says that we are made in the image of God. So we are made in the image of God, the Bible says. And the Bible says in Genesis chapter 1 that God created the entire world, right, with his mouth. And God said, and as God said it, it was done. And then the Bible says that we are made in his image. And the Bible says that the power of life and death is in what? Is in our tongue. And so I don't know if I should be happy or if I should be crying, if I should be sad. Is the power of life and death is in my tongue? Is that a thing of joy? Or should I be sorrowful? Should you be sorrowful? That the power of life and death is in your tongue? Or should you be excited? So it all depends. It depends on how you put it to use. And many of us do not put it to use properly. Many of us have no control over our language. We have no control over our speech. We think that what we are saying do not matter. We think that they are just words. What we forget that at some point on this journey of life, we made a transition from darkness into light. At some point on this journey of life, we acquired a particular set of skills. Like my friend said, Liam, listen. We acquired a particular set of skills that turned our words and our verses into a double-edged sword. We forget. We forget. And now, we now do so much damage with our language. So much damage. So much damage. So much damage. What have you destroyed with your tongue? What have you destroyed? The power of life and death is in the power of your tongue. It's in your language. What have you built? What have you been building? Or what have you been destroying? What have you destroyed? Many of us have destroyed so many things with our language. We have destroyed ourselves by the things that we tell ourselves. We have destroyed our spouses. We have destroyed our homes. We have destroyed our children. They stand no chance. We have destroyed them. But the sad thing is that we have no recollection. Peter had a recollection. He said, this was good yesterday. It's bad today. You did this. You said this. This is a direct reaction and response to what you said. And my question to you is, what is responding to right now in your life to something that you said? What is responding to something that you said? Is your career right now responding to something you said? Is your marriage responding to something you said? Are your children responding to something you said? Is your home responding to something you said or are saying in the home? Is it? Is it? We have to mind our language, folks. We have to. We have to. And Jesus spoke to the tree. He didn't speak at it. He didn't speak at it. When you speak at something, you don't expect the reaction. You know, like your newscasters, they just speak. 7 o'clock, they are speaking. 8 o'clock, they are speaking. 11 p.m., they are still speaking. All right? But he spoke to it. He was expecting a reaction. He expressed a language. And everything around you has life. And that is scientifically proven. Law of vibration, physics. Everything around you respond. Everything around you. In fact, I read a particular. What am I saying? Cheryl years ago, and she was at that time she didn't have a lot of money. She was broke, and then she said her washing machine broke down, and then she said, "Pastor, why we didn't have?" I look. I said, "Well, I cannot afford to fix it because I don't have money." And then so she said she went to her washing machine, and then she laid her hands on the washing machine, and then she prayed her heart out and spoke to the washing machine. And he jerked and coughed and he came back to life. Listen very carefully, born again, spirit-filled believer. Everything around you will respond to what you say. So the earlier you mind your language, the better for you. The earlier you mind your language, the better for you. And so Jesus spoke to it. What our words reveal our hearts. Our words will always reveal our hearts. Be careful what you say. Be careful what you say. Be careful. Oh, my heart bleeds over the Christian children. You know, that Christian child, that baby boy or that baby girl growing, that child growing in that home, growing in the home where father or mother is armed with a dangerous tool that they are not skilled enough to handle, their tongue. That their mommy they be given a weapon they know not how to put to use, and instead of using that weapon to transform the life of that child, they use that same weapon to create an impossible environment that kid can never survive in. Do you understand what I'm saying? Create an impossible environment. James 3, it says, "For we all," James 3 from verse 2, says, "For we all stumble." We stumble on in many things. If anyone does not stumble in word, he's a perfect man, able also to bridle the whole body. Indeed, we put bits in horses' mouths, that they may obey us, and we turn their whole body. We grab their mouth to turn their whole body. Powerful. It's a grab, control the mouth and control the destiny. Control the mouth of that horse and you will control his destiny. Control your mouth and you will control your destiny. Control your mouth and then you will the more control you have over your language, the less prayer you pray. Because things happen to you on demand. Many of us are products of the atmosphere we create for ourselves. Many of us are products of the atmosphere we create for ourselves. Unfortunately, many of us have created toxic spiritual atmosphere that does nothing at best attract demonic forces to tear down whatever it is we are building. Do you understand? And that's why when you go into a hospital, a place where there's sickness and disease and affliction, they warn you. They said on your way in, on your way out, make sure they even give you free jelly. Please. Push this tub here, put some clear fluid in your hands, and disinfect your hands. Is that not what they say? They beg you. They beg you. Don't take germs home. Because when you do, right, you expose your internal systems to a virus or bacterial attack. They will attack your respiratory system. They will attack your digestive system. They will attack your cardiac system. They will attack all your system. And what it does, it grinds you to a halt. But I dare say, ladies and gentlemen, the same thing happens with what you say with your mouth. When you don't know how to control your language, right, you will create such a toxic atmosphere that nothing but demons will come into your atmosphere. And they will attack your marital system. They will attack your career system. They will attack your enterprise system. They will attack the system you have put in place to raise godly children. They will tear it down and destroy the entire destiny of that home. Mind your language. Mind your language. This is the most difficult thing you will ever do in your life. But the earlier you master it, the better for you. Raise our kids on a few principles. And the first principle is this principle of the tongue. We will never say any negative thing about my children. Not in their absence, not to their hearing. Very tough as a father. Very tough. Very tough. And you know how you feel when you say your mind? Oh, it's one of the most pleasurable things in the world. Oh my goodness. Are you kidding? Do you know why? You know what how many of you have been there before? You know you do it. You know when you really say it as you feel it. Oh, the sense of relief. You know, my God, it's like just sitting on a beachside somewhere in Spain. That is the same feeling, you know? When you tell that man, you are such an idiot, you know, good for nothing. If I had married your friend, I would have been better off. Yeah, your mother is a manipulator. All of your family, I regret marrying any one of you. Married to this family. You call this one a family? Yeah, call this one a family? You, your senior sister, your senior brother, all of you, all together, you got. And then when you finish, say, I feel good. Oh my goodness. You feel good. So you feel so good. You don't feel good? You don't feel good when you wake up on Monday morning, you come back and say, wow, wow, I hate my boss. I hate my boss. I don't like this job. It's such a useless job. By the way, oh God, can you please promote me? You feel good when you say that. That's right. Feel good. You see when you meet your colleagues at the coffee machine and you say, oh, she's a little girl. Yeah, she's so stupid, isn't she? Yeah. I do all the work, she takes the credit. Yeah. She's good for nothing. Oh my goodness. Oh yeah. Yeah. And then when you are done, take your and say, yeah, oh, that's so relief. Oh my God. It's good, isn't it? Where do you think those words go to? Where are those words hanging? They are hanging over your head. Every negative word you speak, where do they go to? Listen very carefully. It says that the words I send to you, they will never return to me void. They're not going back. There's no retracting it. Yeah? So you call me skinny, empty-headed, and a mophead. Now you tell me you are joking. Where are you going? How do you retract that? How do you retract that? How do you retract that? You say my mother is a witch. Yeah? How do you retract that? 9 months she carried me, labored over me, and then you call her a witch. You say you were just angry. Seriously? How do you retract that? How? Every negative word you say does not go anywhere. You are like God now. You are in the spirit of the Lord now. You are made in his image now. You say it. It's not coming back to your mouth. It must happen. Where is your homework, Tommy? Mom, I stop stammering. I said, where is your homework? But you said that yesterday. What is wrong with you? Why are you being silly? Why are you such a dumb head? Your mates are bringing their homework at school twice on a roll. You left that homework. What are you doing? And then here he is at 18. You want him to go to school. And you are expecting A plus in GCSE. You are expecting A stars in GCSE. And you want him to go to uni and come out with a 2-1 and get a job in the city. Are you dreaming? What are you smoking? You killed him when he was 2. You stole that brain when he was 3. When he was 4, you robbed him of his destiny. Now at 18, you are expecting a harvest. What are you talking about? What are you talking about? What are you praying about? Who will answer that prayer? Who can undo what you have done? Who is like God who can undo what you have done? You were made in his own image and you opted to destroy with it. Who can undo it? Who can undo what you have done? Who? Who? Oh, my marriage is such a useless marriage. Oh, it's horrible. Yes, he doesn't look after me. Doesn't care for me. He only takes care of his family. Or he look after me. Doesn't buy me a gift. Doesn't buy me anything. Look at him. Yeah. And I say, as well. So it doesn't matter. I'm just saying how I feel. I say how I feel. So after 25 years, you are expecting a miracle? No. That's not how it works. That's not how it works. Doesn't work like that. Doesn't work like that. You trash your company and say, I don't like this company. Look, you are entitled to change jobs, but you're not entitled to destroy any. You are entitled to change your career. You are not entitled to destroy any. And I say, what you are destroying is someone's labor. It's someone's labor. It's someone's labor. I hate this job. Just all of them put together. Like they sent you to school. Who filled out your application form? You did. Who went for that interview? You did. So all that nonsense you were saying during your interview, don't remember you hate the job? Oh, look at you. He said, I work well under pressure. Seriously? Yeah. So what's the negative thing about yourself? He said, well, my negative thing about myself is that I tend to work myself too hard. Oh, my goodness. You're such a liar. So first, you lie to them. They trusted you and they hired you. Now they say, since you love to work under pressure, I mean, you and pressure are synonymous. You are just the right person we are looking for. So we want to make you happy. So do this job and that job, and when you are done with both of them, can you add something and say, oh no, what a useless company. I hate my employers. I hate the job. In fact, I'm looking for another job right now. I can't stand it. On Monday morning, you will emit this negative climatic atmosphere, you know, towards this organization. You will wake up in the morning and your alarm will go up. You will hiss. And think, just the mere thought of that organization brings disdain. And then you tear it down. Because you are made in the image of God. Do you understand? And then 10 years later, you go and mortgage your home or go and borrow money. And I used to want to start a business. And then you are now praying, oh God, bless my business. Then what you spoke 5 years ago, where are they? Where do you think they disappeared to? What absorbed it? You absorbed it. You absorbed it. It's hanging over your head. It's hanging over your destiny. The word came from you. The root of that word is from your heart. The bile and the bitterness is from your heart. And that's what the problem is. Do you understand what I'm saying? Mind your language. Mind your language. Mind your language. Get your language wrong, and you will rob your entire family of creativity. Get your language wrong, and you will. I tell you something what happened when I was in primary school. My first attempt at primary 3, I failed it. I failed it because I just flunked it. And then they said I had to repeat that primary, that class. And I was nervous. But I remember one teacher said, don't take him back to the same class. Take him back to another teacher. Same class, same year, but a different teacher. And I met this teacher who just liked me. And every time I come into class, she would say something nice about me. And then she would commend the nonsense I was writing. Right? The same nonsense that the former teacher failed me on, she would commend it. And I saw it as a good attempt. Everything was a good attempt. Everything was a nice try. Everything was a great effort. And gradually, it started building my confidence. Gradually. Because when you speak the right language, faith is released. When you speak the right language, you change atmosphere. When you speak the right language, you create a great climate. And that's exactly what Jesus did with his tongue. What are you doing with yours? What are you doing with yours? Are you listening? So our words can direct us and others in life. Please, I want to leave you with this charge. Change the climate in your home. Change the atmosphere in your home. You are like God now. Unless if you want to give up salvation, right? But you are like God now. And the Bible tells you, when you came into this arena, that the power of life and death is in your tongue. It's in your mouth, right? If things are not working, right, it's in your tongue. If things are working, it's in your tongue. You have the power to change everything and anything. And anything can change. It's only a matter of time. Use the power of your words and mind your language. Mind your language. Mind your language. Write your feet and let us pray.